WHYY is proudly supported by Penn Medicine. From groundbreaking discoveries to life-saving care, Penn Medicine's innovation is helping to change lives, one moment, one treatment, one patient at a time.
I'm not sure who Americans consider the most trusted man in America today, but for many years that description was linked to the name Walter Cronkite. Cronkite was the anchor and managing editor of the CBS Evening News for 19 years. He retired in 1981 and was replaced by Dan Rather. In 1993, I asked Cronkite how he started giving his famous sign-off, "And That's the Way It Is."
Well, that was a very contrived sign-off, obviously. And I'm a little embarrassed about it today. Dick Salant, the sainted late Richard Salant, who was president of CBS News when we went to the half hour, hated it and tried to talk me out of it. But being the stubborn Dutchman I am, I clung to it, and it became so much a signature so quickly that I was not inclined to give it up. But what happened was, when we went from a half hour to a half hour, I thought we'd have plenty of time. Fool that I was, naive as I was, I thought that doubling our time would give me time to end the piece with the kind of stories I always liked when I worked for the United Press and Scripps Howard. I liked the irony of fate stories, the little one-paragraph stories or two-paragraph stories that you put under an italicized head somewhere in the front page. And they were the little human interest touches. And if I use that kind of story, knowing that sign-off lines were terribly popular in broadcasting and always have worked for people, I thought maybe I could use one if I could find one that I could say as a tagline to either a humorous or a pathetic story. And you can say, "And that's the way it is," almost anyway. "And that's the way it is," you know, an ironic touch, or a satirical touch, or doubting touch. "Or, and that's the way it is," a sad touch, and a regretful touch. And so that's why I devised the line, and it certainly has stuck.
You say you're embarrassed about it now. Why are you embarrassed?
Because I think Dick Salant was right. We didn't get to use those irony of fate stories. Almost from the beginning of the evening news, there was so much news to cover in the half hour allotted to us, less than that, less subtracting commercials and lead-ins and lead-outs and so forth. There was so much to cover. We never got those irony of fate stories in. As a result, we were loading the broadcast with important news, and I was ending up saying, "And that's the way it is." An arrogant line, in a sense.
Right. That's how some people saw it, that you were saying, "I've told you what the news is, and that's all there is."
Well, not only that's all there is, but it's all correct.
Yeah, right.
And as Dick pointed out, we're not telling them all that is, and we make mistakes.
You were the anchor and managing editor of the evening news. When you became the anchor and managing editor, what were some of the changes you made or tried to make?
Well, I think the most important change was that I insisted on doing the broadcast from the desk where I worked, so there would not be a delay in getting from the newsroom to the broadcast location, the studio, and also I would be in control throughout the half hour of the broadcast. The reason for that was that I really was the managing editor, and I did not want to put copy on the air that somebody had prepared and handed to me. I wanted to see it off the wires. I wanted to make my own judgment on it before going on the air with it, and that was possible if we were in the newsroom operating. They could hand me the press service copy, teletypes bringing the press service copy could be practically at my elbow, and I could have writers and researchers sitting around the rim of the anchor desk just as they would on a newspaper, and I played it that way.
Well, speaking for myself, if I did a broadcast from my office, instead of hearing what I was talking about, listeners or viewers would just be saying, what a mess. You must have been under a lot of pressure to keep a pretty neat desk if you were broadcasting from it.
Not really. We swept the desk clean about 1.5 minute before going on the air. My motto was, our deadline is when we leave the air. We changed the broadcast right through to the time I signed off. It very seldom ended up precisely as we had planned it in advance. It drove producers and directors and technicians crazy, but that's the way I believed it should be done. There was no reason we had to close out the broadcast before we went on the air. If you've got capable people who can handle it on the microphone, on the cameras, and in the control room, there's no reason why you can't update that broadcast to the very last second.
Walter Cronkite, recorded in 1993. More interviews from our archives next week at this time. This is Fresh Air.